Welcome to Bubbla.
Hey, Carrie, boy, am I glad to see you at the Bubbler. My morning is not off to the best start, and I still haven't had my office cup of coffee because some jackhole drank the last of the coffee without starting a new pot.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
I'm ready to hit reset, but man, I'll tell you, it's driving me crazy in there.
Don't even get me started with the lunchroom office antics right now. You know, it is Lent, so everybody is cooking up their fish in the break room, and it is the worst.
Nothing like the smell of microwave fish wafting throughout the office for the rest of the afternoon.
That can't taste good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of nuking my fish, but you know what's worse than nuked fish?
What?
When someone just clears out their fridge on what I call the morbidly mysterious meal that haunts me every time I open the refrigerator door. I don't know what's in it. I want to take a picture of it and start an office pool.
It's in one of those see-through containers that you get at Fridays. You can see what's in it and you're not exactly sure what it is. Gross.
Yeah. And like, that's funny you said that because it's like sometimes it's even in a restaurant-specific to-go container and there's no way in hell whatever's in that container came from that restaurant. And if it did, that place should be closed and condemned immediately.
Yeah. And I'm not a leftovers girl, so it's even more disgusting. But you know what's worse? Is gas station Gary. Let's go and pick out the most disgusting hot link off of that Rolly machine and bring that back to the office with maybe some extra chicken wings or something. It is the most don't get your food at a gas station, please.
It's not a good combo. I'm sorry. Anywhere that I stop to put gas in my car and race to the restroom is not the place I want to grab my meal. Still better than dealing with Messy Marvin or I Refuse to Restock Ray, who just leave the lunchroom a complete cluster and barren for the next guy. I don't know about you, but I go in there at least once or twice a week to restock everything.
Or they leave their dishes and they don't even rinse them. Like, what do you think? Is your mom coming to the office to clean your dishes? I don't understand why they're so gross.
You know, the people that don't rinse their dishes in the sink, you can't even imagine what their home kitchen looks like. But then again, I'm married to someone that thinks the dishwasher will blow anything off the plate, no matter what it is, and refuses to rinse. But boy, does that one really rub me the wrong way.
Well, then maybe there are people out there who think that magically the food comes off the plate then. What about my favorite, especially this time of year? You know, it's still early in the year and people have all their resolutions and everybody's trying to be fit. But what about that judgmental Judy? She's up there making her healthy lunch and she's doing lunges, waiting for her food at the microwave. And she's staring at, you know, all this food coming in and it's just shaking her head, making everyone feel bad about themselves.
Or she tells you or how many calories are in whatever on your plate and or how bad it is or what the origin of said food is. Like, can you even imagine what she tells gas station Gary about his food if he goes in there to nuke it?
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Gas station Gary just doesn't care. You know, he doesn't.
We should hook up judgmental Judy with standing desk guy over there. Talk about the two judgiest people in the office. I mean, sometimes you just got to get out.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. If you ever have an opportunity to go out to lunch, it's kind of a treat, I think, sometimes, especially with a lot of remote workers. We're just not in the office. We don't get to get together and go out to lunch. But I have to tell you this one story. There's always, you know, drama in the office. Any other adult place where you think you're not going to act like high schoolers, but you do. But years ago, there was a group of us who wanted to go to lunch. And, you know, sometimes you just want to go hang out with your friends and you want to be you. And maybe you don't want to invite everyone in the office to lunch.
Well, sometimes it's not only your friends, but maybe it's someone that you work with directly. And the reason you're going with them is you also want to talk about a project or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, of course, we always try to include people when we can. But there are sometimes people you don't include. There's a reason, whether it's just you're discussing something that doesn't involve them or they're the person you're trying to get away from.
Sometimes it happens. So, it does.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you can't include everyone all the time. And you're good about trying, but there are just times you can't.
Yeah. But sometimes you can. And this one particular time we were headed out and we frequent a handful of restaurants, right? So whatever's around the office. And one afternoon, we unfortunately didn't invite everyone, which does happen, like we said. We got our food and I'm looking out the window and I see someone peering in the window. And I'm like, what is going on? And it's Karen. Karen is outside the window looking in to see if we're in there. And at first I thought, oh, well, maybe Karen's just coming to pick up a to-go. And she's just not sure where the entrance is. And Karen proceeded to enter the building and come over to our table and yell at us for not including her on our lunch plans for that day. Not only was she upset, but she was aggressive. So, yeah, it did happen. A true story. So sometimes even when you're trying to get away from old judgmental Judy, Karen will show up at your place and want to have a powwow on why she wasn't invited on the out to lunch.
I want to picture this. So you see her and she's literally peering inside the window. And so she's peering in. She spots you. She has a there they are moment.
Yep.
And comes in and just instead of inviting herself and sitting down, she just berates or attacks your group at the table for not including her.
Definitely wanted to make sure that we knew that she caught us. Like we were on some sort of catch a predator situation. It was so odd. We didn't do anything wrong. We just were eating a sandwich or I don't even remember what we were eating actually, but yeah. Yeah, she wanted to make sure we knew that she caught us. I still don't know what we did.
So she wanted to make sure that you know that she knows.
Exactly.
That, you know, you should know what she knows, even though you don't know.
It was the strangest thing. Yeah.
The one thing we haven't touched, maybe you can help me wrap my head around it. It still blows me away that there are people who eat other people's lunch out of the office fridge.
Yes.
Regardless if it's labeled, normally they start getting labeled when there's an ongoing offender. I'm not talking about someone that's, you know, going through a rough patch. But my point is the person that just brazenly sees mixed lunchbox reaches into it and takes out his vegan lunch entree and takes it back to their desk or wherever they go to quietly eat it. I picture them in a stall somewhere. You know, laughing.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't. Like, if I took something that wasn't mine, you think they go hide in a stall. I don't think they do. I think they steal the lunch. They go to the microwave. They're proud. They even are talking to Judy and Gary and all the other players. And they're like, I'm just going to eat this lunch. And they don't care. I really don't. If we could get, you know, someone to explain the psyche of this crazy maniacal lunch villain, I would love that because I don't think they're hiding. I think they're out in the open. They're in plain sight.
So, well, I think there's different levels of sociopath involved in the abduction and consumption of someone else's meal. I've seen games. That's different. I actually got pranked once where someone held my lunch ransom and put a note in its place. I even had someone one time do it to where there was a puzzle I had to solve to find my lunch. But I'm talking about the person who just brazenly eats multiple people's lunches and you start putting up flyers and even sending out company emails about, hey, first time's an accident, second time, maybe not, third time, you're a psychopath. But there are people that it's almost like they become the lunch serial killer, thumbing their nose at our special crime investigative unit. You know, I just don't know if there's anything you could do worse than that. I mean, can you think of anything?
Oh, yes, I can. I actually have had someone not only take my lunch, but they took part of it and put it back. So
yes!
I get my lunch. Yes. And when I get to get my lunch, half of it was gone. What kind of wacko does that?
A pretty brazen one whose fuck basket is empty. But I'll tell you, I almost appreciate that more than the serial offender, right? I mean, if someone's just like, that looks good. Now, was there a visible bite mark, or did they just take, like, it was cut in half and they took half?
It was like a half situation. So it would be like I had like a pasta dish and I went in and it was like they had scooped out. They had scooped out half of it. So they took the time to put it on another plate to heat it up, scooped it out of my container. And, you know, I believe my name was on it because at that time we knew there was an issue at the office refrigerator. So everybody put their names on it. And I think we also put dates because every week you would clean out the refrigerator. So there were certain dates that would have to be on things so your stuff didn't get thrown away. Yeah, they went in, scooped it up, helped themselves, had a delicious pasta lunch. But yeah, is that crazy?
Out of all of them, the one I have the most respect for is the one that stole half of your meal. A, I'm just imagining how meticulously they had to scoop the half out, put it on whatever they're going to make. It may have been a two-man job there, Carrie, because there may have been a lookout and they're scooping it and they're heating it up probably there in the microwave, you know, left your half. So they're not like a heartless villain or thief. I almost consider them more of a considerate con artist. I'm going to go pour myself a cup of coffee and contemplate this a little further, but I think I would like to propose a toast to the gentleman or woman who brazenly and boldly took half your meal, but then left the other half for you because you know what? They're not too far gone. And I think that's a soul we can save.
I think that is the legend of the lunchroom.
You know what, Carrie? On that note, I'm going to go make myself a fresh cup of coffee. And thanks for letting me hit the reset button. All rise.
It's time for Mick Makes the Call.
You may be seated. All right, Carrie, well, I'm a little excited and I'm a little nervous. You have a new segment that you're going to throw at me since I blindsided you last week. I'm a little nervous. All I know is it's called Mick Makes the Call. I'm ready. I'm going into this with an open mind. Give it to me, sister.
All right. I'm really excited about this segment. I'm hoping that you can make the final call on this topic. So I want to tell you a story. Then at the end of the story, I want you to tell me who is to blame.
Okay.
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 All right. Years ago, a husband and wife are driving home and they get to the house where they have a garage. The husband is driving and the wife is in the passenger seat. The husband pulls the vehicle into the garage, walks in to the house, and the wife grabs all the bags, shuts the garage door and goes in the house, sets the alarm and goes to bed. The next morning, the husband wakes up and opens the inside garage door to find that the outside garage door is open. Comes in and starts yelling at the wife. You left the garage door open. To which the wife says, no, I shut the garage door. And battle ensues on whose fault it is and what happened. Upon further review, going out to the vehicle, the car is not all the way in the garage. So the wife did close the garage, but it didn't go down because the vehicle was sticking out the garage.
Right.
So whose fault was it, Mick? Was it the husband's fault who drove the vehicle into the garage and did not pull it all the way in and walked in the house and left it there? Or was it the wife's fault who pushed the button and entered in with all the bags and shut the door?
Let me be very honest with you. This is an easy one for me. I don't even have to go back to my time where I was pre-law. So the husband is 100% in the wrong in so many ways in this story. First off, take into consideration, I know you're a badass Northeasterner. I am someone who grew up in both the Midwest and the South. So you were 1 second into this story and I'm already like, well, the husband's wrong. Oh. First off,
wow.
I would never pull into the garage, leave my wife in the car, especially knowing there's bags of things in the car, and just go inside. I wasn't raised that way. And even if I was mad at her, I would still begrudgingly help her bring the groceries in or whatever the bags were. Even if it was all of her mad shopping at the fashion mall, I would still be assisting her with all of these things. He's already wrong there. So if I had done that, I would have seen.
It's an extra layer I wasn't expecting.
Exactly. So I would have already seen that the car wasn't all the way in because I'm helping with the bags. Secondly, let's say I, for some reason, have to get into the house or she's just really pissed me off and she can do the damn bags. I'm not going to just go upstairs like it's the end of the night and wait for her to come up and join me. I would do my, I really do this. This is a true story. I do an end of night walkthrough at the house where I make sure the thermostat's down.
Yes. I've heard of this. Okay.
I make sure the thermostat's at the evening setting. I double and triple check that all the doors are properly locked. And this is where I get made fun of. I open the door to the garage and make sure the door's down. And I lock the door to the garage. But I have this almost OCD evening routine. That's another thing. Maybe I'd let her bring the bags in because I'm mad at her. I'm not going to let her put stuff away by herself and not help her. Are you kidding me? I'd be afraid to go to bed if I did any of those things. So all of these things are reasons the husband is wrong. I rule in honor of the wife.
Okay. Definitely was not what I was expecting. Fair enough. Judgment for the wife.
All right, Carrie, we're going to do something a little different with topics where we feel like we need to think about them more after we record. The UFO / UAP topic, is there anything that hit you after we spoke or that you were like, oh, I didn't say this? I mean, that's the thing about a water cooler conversation. You're not bringing notes. You're going to stop and listen to other people and forget things. Maybe your opinion changed. Now let me know if you have any post-conversation thoughts or a little water cooler wrap-up.
I don't know if I have any additional thoughts, but what I do find interesting is it was a topic that I expected to be out there for days and, you know, repeated over and over again. The strange thing is it was hot topic on TV. I think I even was sending you text messages because I was seeing it everywhere. And then now it's gone. So kind of like a UFO, right? Like, or UAP, like I saw it, I experienced it, I watched the documentary, but where did it go?
I like that. And it is weird. Now, obviously, the primaries are taking precedence over the media. It's so odd. Because you have this heightened interest in the topic. There are those that always felt passionate about it or wanted more answers because of something they experienced. In retrospect, I was floored with the story that you shared about your mother's experience. I did not expect that. You didn't tell me it was coming. But it's like any of this. It seems so odd that these subjects do kind of quickly fade away until they don't, until they come back. I'm wondering, do you think the fact that the U.S. government, after the jellyfish video, just said no comment, that all of a sudden everyone was like, okay, that's it for now until someone has a comment or something. It's a topic that has a mix of people that are passionate about an experience they had or want answers. Then you have individuals that do not want this topic explored and try to throw little monkey wrenches in. And then you have people who are kooks, that the information they provide is hooey and complete bullshit. You got to wonder, is this misinformation on purpose to maybe take away the momentum? The perfect example I can think of when we were discussing after the fact, I don't think it's actually in the podcast, the pilot who went down to the convention in Mexico, and this pilot's whole focus and concern was just air safety. Mm-hmm. How are we going to protect military pilots and commercial pilots and even private pilots? How are we going to protect them, make them aware of how to react, what to do, if anything, if you encounter a UAP in the air? And he went down there excited to be heard when all of a sudden, right in the middle of this event, they brought out those two fake alien mummies. What were they like? 3 feet long, 2 feet long, whatever they were, they obviously did not resemble anything real at all. And then all of a sudden they took away from purpose of this meeting to unleash. These are these alien bodies that we found. And what did it do? It completely distracted from any real discussions of air safety and UAPs. Do you think that was a misinformation campaign, or do you think it were a couple of zealous scientists that got a little too excited too early?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, right? I mean, there's some truth to some of these things, and then other things you're like, what? Wacky, just wacky stuff. And that was wacky. So, and it seems too wacky to be something that was going to be discrediting. Like, how would you even think you were going to get away with random bones in, you know, some sandcastle that basically just looked like it? I made it at the beach, you know?
It absolutely did. There's nothing about that that when I saw the pictures, did I go, this is it. This is the missing link to all the information. This is going to bring it all together.
And you know, look, it's a heavy topic. I've had a couple of conversations with teenagers recently, and space, believe it or not, it's a heavy topic. The thought of space, the thought of other worlds or aliens, or that's pretty heavy if you think about it, right? So what does that mean? What does that mean for the future? What does that mean for the near term? Like, what's going to happen? I think it's a heavier topic. I mean, for you and I, maybe we feel it to be a little bit more light, but I do wonder if there is some sort of, let's control the narrative a little bit, kind of go back to what we talked about earlier in the podcast about the radio show that scared everybody.
War of the Worlds.
Yes. So I do think that there is benefit to kind of being a little more deliberate in what information we're getting.
Well, it definitely sounds like your dog is scared for you and is, you know, so maybe we'll cut this a little short, because maybe your dog is telling you that there are men in black suits outside and that you should talk about this a little less. I mean, it's a broad topic that obviously there's facts in there. There's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of misinformation and falsehoods all at once. Anytime you try to discuss the origin of the planet Earth, right? But here's what I know. Things are a little kooky, but I don't know that you can really point to a period in time where they weren't. I just remember my dad always saying, look at what the smartest people you know are doing. Look at what the most successful people you know are doing. I think it is maybe telling or concerning the billionaires are all basically racing to colonize Mars. And creation of a military branch that we all joked about, but it's a real military branch, Space Force to police space, whether that's satellites that launch Star Wars type lasers a la Ronald Reagan, or just spy satellites. Something's going on in space, whether it's a need to colonize in the future or protect ourselves from weaponized satellites. What are the odds that three of the highest profile billionaires, two of them U.S. citizens, are focusing on getting off this planet? If that's not telling, I don't know. Maybe I'm speculating a little too much there. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, I think that's obvious. There's definitely a need and we're seeing it unfold. I think it's just it's going faster. Maybe that's what it is. It's just a lot there.
Well, all right, Carrie, I need to go. My boss, Bratty Kid, has a paper due tomorrow, so I need to go finish reading Little Women.
Well, I need to go finish that presentation on why we should buy the goats for goat yoga next week.
I'll see you next time at the Bubbler.